to America. Welcome to the Tong, where our loyalty lies only with warrior, and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say? Just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back, and to quote Derek Chin, here we go again. That's right, folks. It is your town. Hello, Itchy Onions. It's your boy Zeus here, and joining me, as they do every week, is our Tong. I start off like we do each and every week. We've got the very lovely, but the very deadly, Miss Stephanie Young, a.k.a. the Asian Hip Hop Hippie. How's it going? Oh, yeah. Oh, can you not hear me?
I'll She's be back.
She's like, just like that. That's how the show starts. She's like, yo, I'm out. I like this. I got the dance going. No, obviously, she had some tech issues there, so she will be right back. But you know what? It wouldn't be our show if that didn't happen. Why don't you... just to introduce yourself and welcome back, Miss Rebecca Nishi. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm fine. Actually, I'm very happy because Warrior is the fourth most on the top 10 in Brazil.
Yes. Number seven in the States right now.
Warrior is
burning it up on Netflix. Oh, my God.
And it was just nine yesterday. So that bumped up two slots.
Two slots in one day, which is huge. Which just means bigger and brighter things, especially in the first 2 weeks. We know how important that is. So, folks, make sure you go out there. Have it on in the background when you're cleaning the house, when you're doing dishes, or whatever you happen to do. Just have that going in the background.
And, no, actually watch it. Don't be doing no other shit. Just watch it.
Oh, I'm saying no. I feel like I'm talking to the people who have seen this a million times already, like we have. Just throw it on there and get it through it. But, yes, watch it. Have a lot of fun. And yes, listen to my buddy right down there, Mr. Money Matt Chua himself. How's it going, Mutt? Matt?
Oh, Mutt? You just call me a Mutt now? All right. I see what we're doing.
The Money and the Matt, and then I feel like I have to give you a new moniker because, you know, the Money Matt Chua.
I'm the man of an hour. I'm a mutt. I'm a villain. I'm this.
You've been the boy toy. You've been.
I get on this show, like, just such fucking bullshit. I just get stepped on all the time from these people. Like, it is terrible. Like, you see how they treat me? I deserve respect.
You know what? I need you to tell me a little bit. Wait, this is the respect we have for you. Tell me a little bit about how your day was. And there's Stephanie Young around there.
Fixed my audio. Sorry about that. Hello.
I hate you.
Welcome back. And you sound great, Steph. And thank you so much for the great timing there. And look, there it is, folks. The new merch right there. The sticky shirts are in the house. And
there's the E.
So much fun.
We're all a little giddy today and feeling a little more playful, I feel, than usual. And I feel like we got a really good reason for that this week. This week, we have on with us an actress who spent time in London's West End. Like, I mean, this is big. And not only that, we have one of the most terrifying people from this season of Warrior. And I kid you not, I shit you not, we have Aunt Violet herself, the one and the only, Miss Patricia Boyer.
There she is.
Hello, guys. So nice to see your beautiful faces.
Thank you for joining us all the way from South Africa. How are things over there?
It's Africa. It's always great. It's hot. It's raining now. But it was like 35 degrees. It's always beautiful. It's Africa. You've been to Cape Town, Stephanie, Rebecca. You know what it's like.
Loved it.
Lovely.
and you survived load shedding. I love that you taught me a new term today as well. Well, this week.
Yeah, load shedding. We you know, as South Africans, we're very worried about the environment, so we turn the lights off for, you know, we have load shedding. The government puts the lights off. No, it's Eskom. It's to save the grid. To save the grid. So
what I'm hearing is, I was going to say, so what I'm hearing is South Africa is basically everybody's father. Yo, you don't need to have that light on right now. Turn that light off.
No, turn it off. My father always used to say, turn the lights off. So, you know, gadgets. Where's my gadgets? I can't find it. Oh, hang on. No, it's too far. So, you know, you get used to it. You get used to it. And that's how I like to try to be, think positively, is that, you know, saving the environment. Like, we're ahead of the rest of the countries in the world. So, you know, the lights go off. You know, that's what we're doing.
When we went in August, September, what was that, 2022, I was like, what's the load shed? Oh, no power. You can't see anything. What are we doing? I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I was staying this time when I was shooting in Cape Town, actually for Warrior. They put us up in this place, I can't remember, Saint Martini Gardens, and there's a lot of tourists there and everything else. So my friend and I, Charlie Bourguignon, who plays the German, you know, the German guy who gets thrown onto the cross and impaled, very jealous of his death. I was very jealous of that death. And my friend who got killed by Shannon Lee, that I was so lucky. I got to meet her and I was like, oh, Shannon Lee, and I hugged her. And I was so nervous. The only thing I could say to her is, I'm so jealous. My friend is being killed by you.
That is the wildest sentence ever.
Yes.
Yeah. But we're walking down the stairs because, you know, the lifts or the elevators, as you would say, don't work. You can't work. So we walk down to the bottom like normal. We go into the theater. This French couple come running out to reception. But the lights are off and we don't know what is happening. And we're like, it's load shedding. Oh, they were nice. Just get used to it.
I'd be terrified.
Really?
Like, I'm just a big baby. I'd be like putting Matt and Rebecca and Steph in front of me, and just like, protect me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, you wouldn't want to bump into Auntie Violet in a dark corridor when that was happening, would you? No.
No. This is not the face I want looking at me.
Auntie.
That look, that face, no problem. That look, though, no, I'm good, thanks.
No, I look like shit. Come on, let's get real. It's not a very glamorous part. Oh my word. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
No, listen, but let's get some real love there though for you. This is the real Patricia Boy.
Oh. Well,
I haven't had Botox for a while because I've been playing some older, craggier characters, but yeah. Then I will inject everything and, you know, get the cheekbones and the lips for younger parts. We have to improvise.
Right. I'm feeling that now myself. So let's talk a little bit about Aunt Violet, or as I like to call her now, Aunt Vi.
Can you believe they killed her? They killed her. I'm very angry with Hoon and Tom Weston Jones. It was just a few little scratches on his back, and they overreacted.
Why?
Just a few scratches.
Like, you're doing anything wrong at the point. It's not like you had a gun pointed at
it. No. I think we're all afraid of Aunt Vi.
Why?
So this is the question everybody asks when something like this, when someone gets to play an outrageous character like this, the easy low hanging fruit question. And I'll give it to you, and I apologize for it though, but give us your feelings on playing someone this kind of evil. Like, how fun is that?
Yeah, I've actually played people more evil than her that actually survived. She wasn't really good at being evil. She didn't live, did she? So, it's always fun, you know. I know the show because there's so many South African actors in it, and I've known it's had the other seasons. So I was I was very excited too that there was a part that I could have kind of go up for. And when I read the sides, I thought, oh, this is coming nice and easy off the page. This is I can kind of see her and where she is. And I was very blessed and very lucky to get the part. They're fun to play. And I mean, just everything behind the scenes, I mean, the makeup, the wardrobe, everything else that is supporting you as an actor, and the sets and the, you know, the South African crews and everybody does the costumes and everything. They're so good at what they do, and that all supports you as an actor to do your part. But I think with a character like this, I didn't, when I first read her, just I went with my instinct, which was to play her in the way that I did. Because you can play her if you read it, if you just read, oh, Lord, that is majestic, isn't it?
Oh, Lord.
For those who are listening, Patricia just saw us put up another picture of Anne Vi.
Goodness gracious me. You know, you could play her, if you just look at the words on the page, you could play her very passionately, like, you took my sons and you did this and I'm going to kill you and da-da-da. But just my instinct for it was that she's been so traumatized in her life, not just her sons being killed, but obviously her whole life. I mean, you know, it'd be a hard life. That she's been so traumatized that she's just gone over and over and over into just containing herself. She's just contained. Not that she's... So that thing, that trick of using those dead eyes was very important.
Right.
Very, very important for that character.
Yeah, I was going to ask that if in the writings, when you received the script, if they told you something about her personality, like, or, you know, like, described her, or you just imagined her, you built her from where? And also, Brett directed that episode, so yes. Did he directed you, or?
Yes, I'll speak about that. I can't quite remember if they, you know, you get some kind of... you know, in the brief that you get, you know, Zeus, you get some kind of indication of what kind of character that they're looking for, that she's either a bitter woman, and they gave other actresses references, but there was quite a wide range of different actresses. And they give you an indication, but then it's really up to you as the actor to, I suppose, feel. And I'm very much for this. If you get the sides and you have a read of them, whatever your instinct is first, is to go with that, mm-hmm. and stick with it, unless of course the casting director redirects you or something else. But I remember for this one, I was sitting outside the audition room, and a lot of brilliant South African actresses went for the part. I'm not saying, oh, I was so good that I got it over them, but you know, doing it completely differently to how I wanted to do it. So I was sitting there thinking, God, Patricia, you're obviously making the wrong choices here. You must change it. I thought, no, I'm going to stick with what I'm doing. So I think that's important for actors to know, you know. That's what your instinct is telling you. Whether you get chosen or not, it was your creative decision.
Right.
That you stuck with, you know. Yeah.
Is that something that you picked up yourself along the game, or is that something someone had taught you, or, you know, like by following your instincts? Because do you hear a lot of actors talk about following your instincts more than following the page direction sometimes?
Well, I'm also a performance coach, performance director. So I do a lot of that. And I've done a lot of theater. So a lot of theater, and done the great West End, the great classics, like the Tennessee Williams and the Chekhovs and the Molières and all of that. So you get an understanding of that's, you know, that's where you get your skills. You know, you're doing eight shows a week, you're touring the provinces before you go into the West End, or you're doing like eight shows a week, a 3-hour Molière. You have to have your skill, but it has to be fresh every night. But you have to have your skill with that and your discipline and your staying power. But I think then when it comes to the film and stuff like that, it's actually, for me, it's a lot easier. It's not as, well, theater is my first love, but it's not like you got to get on and you've got to deliver. And you know, also this indulgence of when people, and I'm sorry, I'm not speaking about anybody in particular, they'll do one little scene and then they need to sit down because they were so emotionally moved, so traumatized by the scene. Yeah. You know, if in theatre you go on, you're on the wings, you go on, you do a heavy, hectic scene, you come off, and then you've got to go straight back on again. So I think that has helped me a lot. I'm still getting to the instinct thing. But so I think I can, at this time, obviously when I was younger, no, I didn't know. Not that I'm saying I know what I'm doing now. I don't know what I'm doing with acting. You never know in the end. But I'm more in a safe space where I know that skill set I have it, vocal, physically, or whatever. So when I can be in the moment, instinct is king. It's a king. But of course, you've done all your prior work. You know what I mean? You can't just come in and go, oh, I'm just going to go with my instinct. You know, you're playing the character and the character's story, not your instinct, you know?
Love it.
See, that's a key thing when I'm watching really any performance. If I am that lost in the character that I really am not thinking about the actor, the actress, that does everything. You did it because we are lost in that character. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're afraid of that character.
Thank you. That's such a compliment. And so one thing I want to say, look, I'm talking so much, you can't get the woman to shut up. But I'm just going back to everything you're saying, Rebecca, about Brett. I can't sing his praises enough. You know, he is just, I'm just so blessed. Oh, look at him.
So young.
Hi, Brett. So young there.
That is from World's Deadliest Warrior that used to be on Spike TV back in the day.
Oh, my word. Does he know you have that photo of him? Does he know?
I've shown him that photo many times. Like, he's been on a couple times, but just briefly usually. But
Brett is one of those, you know, and you only meet them, and I've worked with a lot of directors, and you only meet them really, you know, at that. He's really got something very special. I think he's going to be helming huge projects in the future, like helming them, you know. And he's a wonderful, technically, so Rebecca, he's technically, he's very good, everything else, but he is a brilliant performance director.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. So he did say to me that in the audition, it was the thing, I was the dead eyes that he loved, that worked, and the way that she was. So that was something I chose to do. You know, I was pulling out any old trick in the bag as an actor for myself.
I love it.
One other thing, Rebecca, just to answer your question. So, you know, to play those kind of characters is difficult because you want to show off, like you can see every expression in my eyes and I'm crying and I'm this and I'm that. But with that character, you can't do it. You have to contain it. So then one take, I thought, I'm going to show Brett. I can do that as well. And he just came out of the tent and he went, dead eyes. Oh, damn.
He
just says one word. He says, like, he would just say to me, like, one or two words come out the tent. And he is a joy. His set is so lovely to work on.
It's such a happy guy too, which is great.
Oh, he's divine.
I always say that Warrior family became a family not only because you know, some auspicious gathering that puts all the cast together. I don't know, it's like everyone was specifically picked and they just perfect together, but
oh my goodness, yeah.
But I think it's because of the Brett's family, you know, the stunts. And that was contagious to the rest of the class. Everyone wanted to go to the gym to hang out with them and stay there. And just, I think, this spread, you know, this environment. Brett is the responsible.
But I mean, these things always come from the top, and I didn't meet, is it Jonathan Tropper?
Yeah.
I didn't meet him, but I saw him like in the distance on set one day, and just his aura, his energy, very nice person, and the showrunners were also very great, good people, good energies. So, you know, you get lucky. Sometimes you get a job and you know who you have to work with, and you go, I have to do it. I need the money.
Yeah.
We got a couple comments here praising the South African actors. Raghu says, the South African supporting cast playing convincing Southern characters is just spot on. And I was thinking that too about your Southern accent as well. It's like just fantastic there.
What was it good? I thought it was quite bad.
Well, see, we're always our worst critics, though, right?
No, because you know, I think somebody sent me something where somebody like made a nasty comment about how terrible my Southern accent was, and I was like, "You try it, bitch."
Well, you know, and what you never read the comment section. You never read the comment section.
I was a very good friend. You sent it to me and said, you did this. Yeah, great, you know, friends.
Yeah. It sounds like a good friend.
Rego
also follows it up by saying, it reminds me of the Kiwi productions like Xena and Hercules when the New Zealanders played the American roles as well. Yeah, that's where we got Carl Urban and Tony Starr, who plays Homelander. Who is in Jonathan Tropper's
Banshee
series? Banshee, yeah.
Banshee
was badass.
Oh, I love Banshee, and you know who? Hoon. You know who?
Hoon. Yeah.
Yes, Job.
Who killed me with a spade?
The drag. Oh, the guy. He was.
His character in Banshee is, for me, one of the best screen performances I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
I didn't tell him that because I was too shy. I just said,
he's amazing, yeah, he's though. Such a great actor. I am going to brutalize this name. I am sorry.
Tehetris?
Tehetris?
Tehetris
Weathersby says, I'm doing my part. Hopeful for another season. And also says, Warrior Gang, what's up? That's right. Everyone get through it to get the double thumbs up on Netflix as well. Regu also says her character reminded me of the character from Justified season 2.
Oh, yes.
She was the overbearing mother controlling her children.
Yes.
I don't know that.
It's a good series. Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, it's a really good show. And I remember
but now just getting back to this, the season 4, not if when it happens, of course. I don't know. I was killed, you know. But you guys have to. They have to. You have to get down to Cape Town. The cast, South African casting director, is a very good friend of mine. You have to. They're always looking for. They're always looking for baddies. You must. They must create a Hop This Way gang.
All of you.
Come on, Brett.
That would be wonderful. Come on, Brett.
Brett's going to kill me so badly, though. I know he's going to kill me badly.
Why?
Like Frank's going to have these great fights. Rebecca and Steph are going to have these great fights and die with my honor. And I'm going to like die like with my head up a horse's ass or something.
Exactly. But it won't be as boring as mine being hit on the head with a spade. So anyway, so
she's that, like, I just wanted Shannon to kill me.
I was sad. I was like, so anyway.
Wait, what were you saying, Matt?
What?
You were saying something.
Oh shit, I don't know. I don't remember.
He was just agreeing.
I can't remember.
Sorry, Matt. I'm talking too much.
That's
I love it.
There's going to be a point at the very end of this, and I don't know if you've watched the whole show, but at the end of the show, you have to try to get initiated into our tong. And Matt is our tong master and the one that puts you through the trials at the end of this. So he's going to give you, yeah, you're gonna have to do a little Q&A to try to make it into our tong.
Matt.
Yeah.
Look into my eyes.
I'm staring. What are we doing?
Those are the dead eyes. Those are the dead eyes.
Those are dead eyes. Uh-oh. So you better let me in.
We were talking about how scary Violet was. And to me, I don't know if you're going to take as a compliment. I hope so. But it reminded me of some, you know, villains of children's stories. So the ones that you
very true
scared of, you know, like, I don't know if you thought of something like that. You know, maybe the scenario and everything I remembered of... you know, the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy had a neighbor who wanted to kill her dog. And in her trip, then she became the witch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something. So in the real life, she was this woman that lived in a farm next to her and wanted to kill her dog. She was a very, very scary, scary woman.
You know, it's that archetypal kind of. It's a villain. She's a villain, and also when you go in as an actor, when you're looking at the piece or the show that you're auditioning for, you got to look at what the genre is as well. So I watched a few of the episodes, and it's quite a high style, you know. It's got a lot of, I don't know what genre could we call it. It's a fight thing, but it's a lot of.
It's almost like a crime drama. Drama.
So
but you quite can understand her mind. Like on that time, her nephew killed her boys. Because of his girlfriend, which was black woman. Yeah. So the rage that she feels, you know, on that time when people had that kind of thinking.
But I also think it was not only just killing the boys, of course, which is the wrong thing, but it's also that thing of, especially in those times, you were with your group that you were with, right. You know, the whites, sort of that kind of thing. They were with their group that they were with, and you must be loyal to that group to survive, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So it was all of that stuff. But going to the archetype, which is very much true, which you know, children's stories and that kind of a villain that is like that, it definitely will hold that energy, something that is scary, that is you'll have nightmares about. It's definitely in her, you know, she had to be there with her. So that would come, that's also, you know, I don't know if you noticed how she moved physically. She moved, she didn't have to run ever. She didn't have to talk quickly. She didn't have to moved like a shark or like a ship, you know. Yeah.
Calculating.
Yeah. Or just, she's very in the earth, very, and she didn't have to move too much, but very controlling in terms of her world.
Yeah.
She's the top of her world. We actually made a joke, the two lovely young actors who played their mother, Sven and Julian. Yeah, that's Sven and Julian. like, where's Dad? And I said, well, I think what happened was he lost his leg in the war. And then it was a very cold winter and there wasn't much to eat. And he was basically useless. So, you know, that's what happened to Dad. That was our backstory.
Wow, some real hills have eyes bullshit. Wow.
Yellow jackets.
Yeah, you know. What can you do? You gotta survive. It was hard times.
Now, Patricia, knowing that you're theater trained and you love to act, all actors have that one role, like the Hamlet, the Othello, the one thing you want to play. Is there that one role that you wanted to play, whether it be on stage or on camera, that has not yet been on that bucket list for you?
Oh, that I haven't. There's a few. I mean, there was a one woman show that recently that we just tried to get the rights for and we couldn't get it. And I really wanted to play it. It was some guy in Brooklyn holding the rights. But yeah, you know, every role that I haven't done yet. I mean, I don't get to work a lot as an actor. I really don't, you know. I don't survive off acting at all. I have like day jobs and this and that, you know. It's like, so any I'm available for any work. I can do soapies. I mean, if you have a look at my bio, I'm a character actor and I can play leads as well.
And despite what your friend says, you can play a Southern American as well, despite what your friend says.
Yeah, and British and American and Southern, yeah, but more moderny, French, any old thing.
I think Derek Chin, this kind of goes with this, as one of the key pluses of having a cast somewhat unfamiliar to American audiences is that their characters are even more believable. Fans keep wanting to see big name stars come on the show, and that's usually a mistake. And you know, I do another show on kind of like superhero movies and stuff, and that's what I said the big problem is with all these Marvel movies and some of these castings now. They went from hiring relatively unknowns or at the time has-beens, like Robert Downey Jr. was shunned by Hollywood for the third time at that point when he got Iron Man. Chris Evans was relatively an unknown. Chris Hemsworth, Australian actor that did soap, was from soap operas as well.
Yeah.
That's what I think we need to go back to. It is when you get these true actors that come from theater that are done their time on TV and stuff like that, where these big projects seem to shine. And War is a perfect example. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think you know, because the South African actors, if you are a South African actor, because there's such little work, there's not like America, but there's like how many things on streaming and so there were actors that are there. They have done solid work, because I think a lot of actors, I went to Los Angeles once in my life, terrified me. I was living in London and I went to LA. Everybody was an actor, but they've never acted before. I don't
understand. That sounds about right.
And then they say, what do you do? I say, I'm an actor. What have you done? Oh, I just did a Tennessee Williams on the West End, and I'm coming to visit my friend. I'm going back to do a Chekhov for what? And then eventually, by my fifth day there, when people asked me, what do I do? I said, I'm a housewife. It was so bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, I have a friend who went from Connecticut to LA to be an actress. Is she an actress? No. She is not practicing. She is not performing. She ended up being a substitute teacher.
And then my friend, she says, oh, come, this agent wants to meet me in some Los Angeles. I go there. I'm thinking, I go like from the beach. I don't even know. We go to this building, like Donald Trump building, something. I go in there with flip-flops, you know, whatever. And t-shirt, and I was like, what on earth is going on here? And then it's like on the walls, all these people with like, I've got like London, like actress character teeth and whatever. I was so terrified. I was like, they would never. And he was interested. He said, oh, you're doing that. And I just thought, no, I can't do this. I'm too scared, you know. Aww. So I think it's that thing of, in these big blockbusters, everybody has to look like the same and perfect, and you know, they're not really. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Image.
Yeah. I think it's not as bad as it was. I mean, that was like in the late 1990s, early 2000s, that I was went to visit my friend there. But I just thought, oh, it scared me. You know?
I feel like we're in this era of the every man now or every person now, where I'm seeing a lot of casting calls that are. I can read one to you right now that I have an audition for, and they were saying like, we're just looking. We encourage you to. Oh wait, no, that's not it.
To look like a proper person.
People who represent. Today, they should be relatable, relaxed, open to all ethnicities, body types, abilities, sexual orientations, and gender identities. So they're looking for just anyone that looks like you just came off the street, like from whether you be good looking, whether you be homely looking, whether you look like Uncle Phil. Like,
no, I don't know. I think when I read that as an actor, it's just they're covering their asses.
True.
We are very woke, and we will take everybody, you know. But I think if you look at a lot now, and I think maybe to the streamings, you will see a lot of, like, you know, not everybody's just so Botox that they don't look like, I don't know, an egg or something. Sure. But there's not even that.
That's such a good
description. This is one. I must tell you, there's this one thing. So there's this American show. I don't know what it was, and it's like set in the olden days, Western. There's this very handsome man, like an older man, like in his 60s or something, you know, on the horse, ka-chaka, chaka, chaka, and they smile, and there's just these chompers, the brightest, perfect, whitest. Going, you just go, what is this? Isn't real. This isn't, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I never got a nose job. Look, I never got a nose job. So, I don't know. I think there are more like, you know, and the world's not going to end. The world won't end if you hire good actors who don't look like a Barbie doll or I don't know what, you know.
Well, Olivia Colman.
Yes.
Like, I love Olivia, and she is blowing up right now, like worldwide. So
she's brilliant.
She's
brilliant.
I love it. This has been going really good. So just before we get into your, because we're almost ready for your Tong initiation here. Before we get into that, I do want to talk about some other things that you may have going on. Now I just checked out the trailer for Reka, and I just told you about that earlier. And I saw
season
that
two.
Season two, you're on this, and this looks fantastic.
Ooh.
Have you not watched season one?
I have not watched season one. No, I'm gonna watch the whole thing. I'm gonna binge it tonight. Well, not all of it season. Tonight. I'm gonna start tonight.
Is it? Oh, how? Because it's on Showmax here. Because it's a local production. It's a local production, South African production.
I'm not going to say how I saw.
Oh. Yeah, he has a secret.
I know people in the industry. Let's say that.
Yeah, that's a South African production with Ian Glenn in it, and but the rest, those are all local. That's Lemo Hang, the guy on the left. And that is somebody who I actually worked with for years, and her name escapes me because I'm an old person. But wonderful South African actors. And of course, that is, oh my God, you see his old people. Kim Engelbrecht, South African actress as well. Yeah. He was nominated for an Emmy, International Emmy, for Reika season one.
Ooh.
Right. Mm. And so what is the show about? Like, I watched the trailer and I feel
so
like
it's about. So season one is about so Kim Engelbrecht, when her character was younger, she wore Ian Glenn's playing a very disturbed man who's obsessed. He was obsessed and he kidnapped her as a child. So it's, you know, all those sexual connotations that happened, but it's mm-hmm. also a detective story of murders, because she's a detective, the Kim Engelbrecht character, about murders that are happening in KZN. KZN is KwaZulu-Natal on the east coast of South Africa. So it's all mixed up with her personal life. Mm. And she's a criminal profiler and with that. And then season two, do you want me to give you the spoilers?
No. I just happy to know you're there.
No, but I don't. It's basically Quizzical Pictures, which is a South African production company. Harriet Gavshon, and she had a soapy here called Rhythm City that went on for years, and I did performance on that. I acted in it a little bit as well, but I did performance, and she called me and said, "Won't you help with?" Performance coaching a few, like, the younger kids on that. And then she said, will you play this part? Will you do this? And I said, okay, it's not a big part. She said, but it's your scene's opposite Ian Glenn. I said, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah. There are no small roles. Just some small paychecks.
Yeah. See, now I need to binge that.
Very small paychecks. Yeah, this whole streaming thing, hey, like, what actors are making residuals. So it's great that Viva Amandla, yeah. Amandla, you know, where to? Yeah, they stood on their picket lines, so that's good. Yeah,
and now they need to do
so
the
one
same
day. If I ever go to America, I'm available. Yeah, just not Los Angeles,
not Los Angeles. No.
Passport, I have an Irish passport. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And then the last one, I guess we have there. You had a question, Rebecca, or sorry, Steph, earlier about.
Really, I would say, you know, some of the these seem, you know, pretty straightforward, but what was your favorite part about playing her Auntie Vi? And, you know, what was your favorite part? And then what was the most annoying part?
About playing her. Favorite part in terms of just when you're acting it, when you in it, acting it.
Mm-hmm. Like, was there a certain, like, scene or, you know, that, you know, or even you know, being on set with everyone? Yeah, was there something that just your ultimate?
I think the whole process was great. You know, the whole, everything was fine. Because for me, being on a set is like the best present ever. It's like such fun, and it's like having a paid holiday. It's amazing, all of it, you know, every moment of it. Obviously there were challenges. There's challenges. That last scene that you see me doing, which was, I thought was going to be my favorite scene to do, the one where I'm going to kill him with a gun, I was supposed to actually have a knife and be right close to Tom Weston-John, and it was written in that way. It was written in that way, you know. But then something happened and we couldn't. We had to do it at a distance from each other. So that was. But, you know, those are the compromises that you make with everything. So, but I loved all of them. I did enjoy that one scene where you're able to play with your vocal range. So she's talking and saying, ga, 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 and then you can drop it right down. Seems like you got a jonka. You got a burning heart for everyone, jonka.
You know, so creepy.
Play with those vocal ranges in and out, you know. So yeah, it's all fun.
Did you have
eh?
Did you have a stunt woman to be there in case you didn't want to do any scene?
Do a scene?
A fighting or shooting?
No, the only one was when I got whacked on the head. I tried. I tried to show Brett. I was like, look, Brett, I can fall on the floor.
No, we're good.
Mad woman, get her off the set. I'm very pushy. I even tell you this thing, that so that one of the storyliners is walking up, I don't know which one, and I said, oh, you Jesus, and I said, oh yeah, you know what, so I've got an idea. So what actually happens for with Auntie Violet is that she's actually not dead when they bury her. So, you remember, so I was in my mind thinking, you remember what's that one, Kill Bill with Thurman, and she gets buried and she's going season four, she comes out of the mud. Goes like this. Goes, take me to Tom Weston Jones.
Oh, no.
Obviously, that's not going to happen.
Oh my goodness.
Auntie Violet and Bolo and Father Jim.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone from that.
But they're all back as zombies.
That is what he said, and I said, no, she doesn't. What he said. Survive the spade. Get my hair.
It was off camera. We don't know that he hit you in the head. I mean, there is a lot of blood splatter, though.
Yes, at least there was that. Yeah, there was that.
We love it. All right, so we are at the halfway point, or not the halfway point, we're at the home stretch of the show here. Just before we do get into the Tong trials here, I do want to remind everybody that you can do your part. Of course, Warrior, all three seasons are on Netflix in the States right now. If you're in Canada or another country that doesn't have it, VPNs seem to work. Go over there, watch this show, give it a double thumbs up. Make sure you watch each and every episode from start to finish. Get through that, get through all three, and get us a fourth season. And don't forget, if you want to do social media and get Netflix attention, make sure you're always hashtagging Netflix. Hashtag Renew Warrior, hashtag Warrior Netflix, hashtag Warrior Season 4, or hashtag W for Warrior, which is Warrior.
You guys are very passionate. You guys are so passionate. You need to be paid for what you're doing here. You know, you need a cut or something. You know what I mean?
I do not disagree. And there is a way you can help us out, folks. If you did want to help out and help pay some bills here, we do have our own merch online. You can get some wine
coolers. Oh, wow.
Up this way. We've got shirts, and as you can see, let's get some sticky shirt out there, of course, which is the Tom's favorite saying. Find all this stuff on Hop This Way. What website is it? We're so professional. I don't have that down.
It's Shopify.
The Hop This Way show / my Shopify or my thumb. I forget.
See? And then you can also find us on YouTube. And I hope you're watching right now. Please, if you are watching us on YouTube right now, please like and subscribe. Hit that thumbs up button. Share, because sharing is caring.
I think we all absolutely squealed with delight when we saw you chime in on, first saw you chime in on one of our lives. There goes Patricia. No way! She's one of our fans! Oh my goodness. Yeah, we were very excited.
You know, Stephanie, you know who you remind me so much? One of my favorite actresses is Ali Wong.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't people are you actually Ali Wong moonlighting as Stephanie Yong? Which one is look, even that smile, the glasses, everything.
Definitely. Oh, I saw one of her shows. Oh, she's hilarious.
Oh, she's brilliant.
I wish I had that talent.
No, you definitely got something, darling. Let me coach you. You can stand up. Do some stand up. Come on.
Yes.
I love it. I absolutely
have a plan. That's it. You need to.
We've got a new manager. I like it.
Yes.
Now, here comes the time, though. Like, all the fun and games are over.
Sorry, somebody's calling me. I'll see you.
Oh, no, you're going that easy.
I can love her.
How are you going to deal with it? With the mad titan, the mad assassin himself.
Matt, and he's been very quiet the whole time, sizing me up. I see you. Mm-hmm.
There's the dead eyes.
I see you.
Let's see the dead eyes, man.
Oh, you want the dead eyes?
Let's see the dead eyes. Let's see your dead eyes.
Show me your dead eyes.
Ooh.
Ah, not
damn.
Bad.
Not bad. There's a lot of intent there. A lot of intent there. So, Matt, I'm going to let you give the rundown here, buddy, for Patricia on how this is going to go down.
Okay. Patricia. I mean, I always apologize, but it's fucking empty. So pretty much what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you're going to answer to the best of your ability. And once it's all said and done and you perform and hopefully complete the Tong trials, we will put our hands in the air, and then one of two things are going to happen. Either A, you will be in, or you will be casted out and we'll be the first one to actually never make it. So we hope so far, I can't stress this enough, like every other show, we've had a 100% completion rate and everybody has passed the Tong trials. And for the couple like Perry and for Langley, they have they've passed their reinitiation. So they are actually still in. They have not lost their card. So with all that being said, and I hopefully you understand, Patricia, are you ready for the Tong trials?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. It's not like you had a choice anyway. So now, of course, for first timers, I always give the option. You have one of two ways that this can go. You can either do the original Tong trials, or you can do the new version that we have for this season. Your pick.
Yeah, I'll do the new one. Bring it on. Come on, Matt. Let's see.
Oh, I love it.
All right. So here we go. New one. Question number one. If you had a time machine, would you revisit your past or see your future, and why?
Would I revisit? No, I revisit my past in my head every night. I don't want to go there. I'd go to the future.
You are the first one. You are the official first one that has ever said that they want to go see their future. So that is a first here. Yes. Out of all the times that we've done this, this is the very first time that somebody said they want to go see their future.
Well, but of course. I mean, don't you all go over your past in your head all the time? Why would you go?
True.
Look, I would go to my past if I could change it, but otherwise go to the future.
Fair enough. Question number two. Name a cartoon, a show, or a movie they should never, never, never do a reboot of or remake.
A what? A cartoon?
A cartoon, a show, or a movie.
Either one
of those three genres where you think they should never remake it or reboot it.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, you kill me.
What?
You kill me.
A show they should never do. There's been so many of them already that they shouldn't have redone.
Very true.
Hey, another one. Goodfellas.
Oh, that's it.
That's a good one.
They mustn't touch that one. That was just so good, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know why that came to my head, but yeah, how could you redo that? You can't.
No. Good choice.
Too hard to. No one could replace Pesci's role, especially.
No.
Or Ray Liotta. Because I mean, there's been so many gangster movies that have been made, but that one was just wow. Mm-hmm. I'm sure somebody is going to go and relook at it, huh?
I hope.
Comic.
Don't put it out in the world.
No, don't do that. Next question. Name a hidden talent of yours that would surprise people.
Guys, I'm going to fail this thing. a hidden talent. I have got no talent. I can do crazy dead eye. I can cry on. I can swear very badly in Afrikaans. Swear terribly bad. Do you want that one?
Yeah. Give us something. Give us something in Afrikaans that's really bad.
This is so bad. It's so bad. It's the most vile thing I've ever heard said to anybody. So I apologize to all South Africans that may be watching. You want to hear it?
Ready? Oh, definitely.
Sit your puss up your rug, Lariona, your kanai.
Oh my goodness.
Do I want to know what that translates to?
Yes, you do.
Do it again. Think about it. Listen carefully. Sit your puss op your rug. Lariona yo kanai.
I almost feel like it's shoving something up your ass. That's what it seems like. No, that's not it. I'm okay.
Sit your ass down, something, something, something. No.
Sit your ass down. Come on, that's not that bad.
One more time.
Sit your puss op your rug. Lariona yo kanai.
No,
South Africans, they are going like this.
I don't have a clue. I have a feeling this may kill our show. Maybe. What does that translate to?
I cannot say it.
Yeah, what? Oh my god. All right.
We're gonna take that clip.
You know what? I'll tell you. Do you do like once you close?
Yeah. Once we're up there.
I'll tell you then, and now you will know why I couldn't say it. You'll be happy I didn't say it.
I love it. All right. That's fair.
And then we go, we're practicing it on the side.
Yeah. Your Matt is very suspicious. Believe me, darling.
I feel like I have every right to be suspicious of whatever was just uttered on air. I don't know.
So he's going to fail me. I'm going to fail this test. Prejudice of a language.
I don't know. All right. Next one. Finish this sentence. Never have I ever blank.
Never have I ever what? What do you mean?
So, like, what is something that you have never done?
Oh, gosh, there's many things I haven't done. Narrow it down. Never have I ever, like, what? Like, something I don't want to do.
Jail or went streaking or the.
No, yeah. I've never been to. Never have I ever been to jail. This
All
is
right.
True.
Good. That's a good thing. Yes.
No. Yes. For now.
I just want to point out, though, I gave two options of going to jail or streaking. And right away, you kind of thought about it. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I definitely never went to jail.
No, I haven't done streaking. But you know what came to my mind is that I did a play called The Testament of Mary, and it was full frontal nudity. So I don't know if that was not considered streaking, but. Yes, it was being naked in public, but it was for a play. Right.
I mean, if you got paid, that was more like a job. So, I mean,
right.
But I wasn't running. I didn't run. That's what you saw.
That worked. Next question. What is the best meal of the day? Is it breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
for me,
yeah,
Mina. Well, I don't do like the traditional time of eating, like you have breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I kind of like
you a grazer, you
munch. Grazed?
Yeah. Like I may eat at 7 o'clock, or I may eat at 10 o'clock, or then I may eat at 3 o'clock. So I don't have, it's like a general, you know, crazy.
Now, of course, the piggyback.
I'm failing this shit.
I don't know. There's a lot here. No. So, piggyback question though. What is the go-to grazing food for you?
It depends on what. I'm a Pisces, for goodness sake. It depends on what stage I'm in. Am I being a good Pisces, or am I being an excessive Pisces? So if I'm being a good Pisces, I'm eating, like today I had chickpeas and salad or what, but I'm being a bad Pisces, uh-huh, I'm drinking wine and I'm eating pasta and da da da, you know.
I did not know there's good Pisces and bad Pisces.
I thought that was only
well, the indulgent ones, because it's, Pisces is excess, the two fishes that swim. Like,
love it.
Rebecca is totally not impressed with me at all. She's just looking to the corner.
She's watching us at the same time.
She's always multitasking. She's creating something fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I can see in the back there, the background. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, you're good. Next question. Out of all the characters that you have played so far, which one do you think would be your friend in real life?
Lordy. Well, and not anti-violet. I was just watching Killing Eve, you know. So, you know that series, Killing Eve? Assassin.
Were you on there as well?
No. I was watching it. I love it. I know. I do have one. It's from a Molière, a play. Molière, the French playwright. The play is called The Miser, and the character's name is Froissine. She's very, very, very big character, Froissine. She's wears the most exotic clothes, and she's always eating sweets and popping them into other people's mouths. Very eccentric.
I like it.
Just very eccentric.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, she was a matchmaker. They used to have them in those days, a matchmaker. Yeah, very funny character. Yeah.
They need to bring those back.
No, they shouldn't. next question. Describe your perfect day off.
My perfect day off.
Yeah, your
perfect my day perfect off. Job. Well, like I said, I have to have day jobs. So my perfect day off from my various day jobs would to be on a set acting in Warrior.
Ooh,
good answer.
I'm being honest. I'm a very honest person. How many actors work 24/7? We all have to have day jobs, for goodness sakes.
Oh, facts.
Our lives are not glamorous. They're tough. So that, you know what I'm saying? So that would be for me, because just being on a set, it's like, play, we're having fun, cha-cha. That for me would be a day off. Yeah,
it's very nice. Freeing. Yeah, no, I feel you.
I'm not going to like, oh, well, I'd like to go because, you know, the sponge, and I'd like strawberries. No, shit. I don't want to have a day off from my job that I do, community theater, helping young kids and stuff. Yeah, I want that. I want to be on a set. Yeah. Getting paid a lot of money.
Say less. Oh, yeah. Next question. Okay. We're all out at a, you know, doing karaoke and all that fun little stuff. What is the one song you're choosing to give your brilliant performance?
Look at Matt. He's enjoying this too much, isn't he?
This is what I do.
Okay, so it even has a dance to go with it. It's one of my favorite songs. It's a South African song.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Let me just look. It's in Zulu. It's in isiZulu. And I was actually listening to it. It is called Jerusalema.
I've never heard.
I've got it here. This is the dance challenge. They did it all around the world. This is actually in. I was listening to. This is so funny. I was listening to this today. I'll go back. This is everybody in. This is people dancing in.
Oh, I've heard this. Okay, I heard this song. Yeah.
This is Times Square. Where the flip is that camera? This is the dog. Where's this flipping camera? God help me. There we are. Jerusalem.
Wait, I know this song. I did the dance too at my one buddy's wedding.
You did the dance to this?
Yeah, I've done the dance to this at a buddy wedding.
Hey, what did you say?
I said I never knew the name of the song, but now since you're playing I know the song and I've done the dance. Yes.
You've done the dance.
I've done the dance.
Right.
Yes.
Matt, I'm gonna teach you how to say it. So it goes. I'm gonna teach you the words. This is an isiZulu.
Oh shit! I'm gonna butcher this. Okay, go ahead.
Jerusalem, ikayalami.
Ikayalami.
Ilonoloze.
I'm not hitting those notes. you got all that. You got that high part. I stopped right there. But
so this is the challenge. Listen, you guys putting me on the spot. This is a challenge. Next, but you go online, learn the words, but learn a bit of isiZulu, one of our 12 official languages. Learn the lyrics, the song. You know that song, Matt, and the dance.
I know it now. Yeah. I know the dance. I definitely know the dance.
And that's your opening thing that you come with for your next South African guest. Thank you.
I'm just gonna learn the swear that you were teaching us.
This is a gospel song. It's beautiful.
Oh, I don't want to
learn that swearing. That's Satan. So you know that one, Matt?
I do know that one. Yeah, I never knew what the name was or anything. So that's why I was
Jerusalem.
Like, okay. But yes, no, I have heard it. I've done the dance. Yes.
Okay, so Matt, where did you do the dance?
at my one friend's wedding in Virginia.
Yeah, that took the world by storm, eh? That's
yeah. Well, it was weird. So like the DJ threw the song on and
are you gonna do the dance for us, Matt?
I'm not doing
Come
the dance.
Come on, Matt!
I went to two
African weddings. I wonder if I learned it.
I'm locked in. I can't move. So,
oh wow,
a couple of the people that were attending the wedding were doing the dance, right? So like, I used to dance, right? So I followed the steps or whatever, and I asked a couple of the people to hurry up and teach me really quick. So they did like the steps, and then I just jumped right in, and then I just killed that shit for like the whole until the song was over. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed
Matt,
it a lot.
Did you get this one right? The one you got to get that, the one where you sweep like that. I hope so. You got your African rhythm. I don't know. I need to check it.
Well, you know what?
You give me some time and I'll get it. Don't you worry.
That's the one that they came up with and created our theme song. Like that, our open that you heard, the Chew America. Huh? East Chew America.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much talent in this group.
Yeah.
It's mostly just those guys.
Feel itchy, you got something to say. Pop this way.
You are about to be done. All this little sweet talk you're doing, you still got to finish this out. But I applaud the effort.
You see through my evil, wicked ways.
Yeah, sorry, Aunt Violet. This ain't working. Not here in Chew America. This don't work. So next question. What is some advice that was given to you that you never forgot?
It's actually an acting advice that I got.
Okay.
From a woman who at RADA, Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. She said, if you have an instinct, go for it. You might never have another one again.
That is beautiful.
Perfect.
That's good. As it for as an actor, actors, that's actually really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're an actor. So yeah, that one.
I Matt just, is as well. Matt is as well.
Oh, are you Matt? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you have that instinct, go for it. In that moment from between action and cuts, or if you're on stage, you might never have another one again.
I like this. I'm gonna follow that, or at least I'm attempting to follow it.
I have turned that Matt. I have basted him so nicely. He's so nice.
Like, you can't fail me now.
Little do you know that you have no fucking idea what I'm about to do. And final question. Okay, if you had a theme song every time you entered a room, what would that song be?
Oh God, so embarrassing. The minute she walked in the joint, mom, they could say she was a woman of distinction, a true big spender, good looking, so refined. Something, 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 something. I don't know. Yeah.
Love it.
And a hat, some top hat, and kicking.
As you can see, I was never in a musical. Yes.
That's so odd.
That's a loss.
It's so strange why she was never in musicals.
That's so interesting. But anyway.
That, realize why she's saying now that she's going to introduce Steph to her casting agent friend, but now not you. I'm just going to put that
out. Oh, yeah. Now that I know, now you're out.
Well, we're going to see who's out because it is time for the vote. So, Tong, you know what to do. Please raise your hands up. And on the count of three, we are going to determine Patricia's fate. And if she's in or if her little smart-ass remarks are going to get her casted out. Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Oh, I didn't think she was going to get it from Matt. I didn't think she was going to get it.
So speed. With that said, Patricia, congratulations. You have been initiated and you are now part of our Tong. Let's give it up.
Speech.
I'd like to thank my parents and God. Pop this way, Tong.
Tina wasn't so bad, was it?
Huh? RCR says thumbs up.
See, that was painless.
No, it's terrifying when you don't know. It's terrifying. You don't know what they're gonna ask you. It's very rude. And this is Zeus. You never say to the person, hey, just by the way, we'd love to have you on the show, and we're going to ask you a whole lot of questions that could scare you.
We like to keep you on your toes. I'm sorry. That's how we make sure people watch every week, the people that are coming on. Because if they watched, then they would have known.
I have seen some bits, but I never saw this bit.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's what I think we're gonna have to start doing now. Just putting just certain bits up on social media for people, for the rest of the world to see.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Do you have anything coming up or anything you'd like to promote? How can people find you?
No, I don't have any work. So yeah, I'm available for all kinds of current roles. I'm available.
See, there's your plug.
Hire this woman. Get her out there right now.
Oh, that's lockdown. That's as a very crazy character that I played. She's worse than Auntie Violet.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
No, come on. Come on.
She's worse. This was 5 seasons of lockdown. She's a murderess. I told you I played another character who's crazy. Crazier than Auntie Violet.
That's
lockdown.
Those are worse than the Dead Eyes.
Yeah. That's women in the jail. We shoot it in the South African series. It's a women all in a jail together. It's huge. It's a huge show here. And we shoot it in the real jail cells, Constitution Hill, where all the political prisoners and also during the apartheid era were put in jail. And we shoot it there on location. That's where all the tourists are going. So you must see the things that have happened to us in those cells. It's like so spooky, but it's a wild. You can. I'm sure you can find it. Lockdown. That's that character's name is Crazy Sue.
Crazy. her name is legit Jeez. Crazy Sue. Oh shit.
Crazy okay. Sue. Yeah, she's Auntie Crazy. Violet would be scared of her.
Oh no.
Because Auntie Violet, you see the same. I kind of used the same eyes for that. Now you've showing my no way. Come on, no, she's worse. She's really gone.
Yeah,
she's really gone. No, she's also Sue
has funny. Sue has the crazy.
She's a completely different character. She's like sings and laughs and carries on, and then she kills you. You see, you never know where you are with her, you know.
Damn.
There's this one scene where she tries to commit suicide. She tries to hang herself. Then somebody saves her. And then she's so pissed off because that person saved her, she then kills them.
Oh, you have a type.
No. You can find other pictures of me where it's different kinds of characters. Yeah, but that Crazy Sue, wow. No, she's hectic. She's even for myself. And my part is unscripted, so it's all improv.
Oh, wow.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow. I feel like we're taking up so much of your time. Like we've gone longer here. That's how much fun we had here with you.
Oh,
like no, don't be sorry. This has been great. We're sorry. You're the one that's up late. But because hey, it's only 5 o'clock in the afternoon for us here on the East Coast. Becca, I'm sorry.
I spoke too much again.
Are you kidding? We love you. This is a pleasure.
This is the second funnier show.
The second funniest.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the Nick Paulson one. Or Nick Paulson. And Tom. Yeah.
You know, I don't get out much. I don't get out much, and I don't really have friends, so I was so nice to talk.
Neither do I. It's fine. I understand.
We all feel that. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful. I hope everybody had a great time that tuned in to watch and submitted some questions. Those of you that are listening on the podcast, we thank you so much. Make sure you go out and share this podcast with people. And not only share our podcast, but get out there and share the news about Warrior being on Netflix. Let us get season 4. Let's get this going as soon as we possibly can. Like I said, last time I checked, it was number 7. Matt said it was number 9 yesterday. So it's up 2 spots in already a day. Let's get this 4th, 5th, 6th, and hey, a movie going.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to say, what's that?
Keep signing the petition.
Yes.
And also, petition. Yeah. And then the new petition that you guys can have your own be your. That Hop This Way gang in season 4. Then you knew.
Yes.
Well, you let us know, fans. I like the idea. Of course, all of us are going to love that idea. But should the Hop This Way Tom join season 4 of Warrior?
That's what I remembered. I just realized what I was going to say about when we were doing all that. I think Jason would whoop our ass if we had a Hop This Way Tong and then a Hop Way Tong.
Oh, yeah. We would be called the Hop This Way Tong.
I think there's going to be a conflict of interest there, and I think we're already going to know who's going to win this one.
I don't
think it's going to be us. at all.
Hear me out.
Slash.
So as a Star Trek nerd, there's this one classic episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where it's all just focused on these sub characters that nobody knows, and they're like the Lower Decks crew before the cartoon came out. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. An episode where it's just all about us low and Tong people as we all get killed throughout the episode. Sam's like, I'm not even having that. That's so much. She's like, I'm out.
I would be hysterical. Oh my gosh. I would be
Patricia, I can't. You make me laugh.
This is so good. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much, Patricia, for coming on the show and for enduring.
Yes.
We idiots. You were amazing. The fans loved you. We love you. Anti-Vi is definitely one of our favorite, if not favorite, villain from season 3. And
thank you so much. I really do appreciate that, because I am actually an actor, not really a clown. I am a clown and an actor, but I really, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm so happy you liked her. I'm so happy you liked her.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. That's awesome. Well, from Patricia Boyer, from Rebecca, from Steph, from Money Matt, and from the professor who's not here, Frank Zhang, and from myself. Okay. Lots of love to all of you. Oh, this is something that we do though, even every week. You don't know this. You see the shirt she's wearing that we do have for sale there. The Let's Get Some Sticky. Let's Get Some Sticky shirt. We end the show each and every week by saying Let's Get Some Sticky. But we first all lean to the right.
My right. Yeah.
And then on three, we're going to go back and we're going to say,
Let's get
the sticker. Yeah. Thanks so much for tuning in.